Today is the 9th of April 2012, yes. And I'm here to interview Mrs. Evelyn Strang. Could you tell me, please, when you were born, where, and what was your name at birth?
I was born in Leipzig in 1933, and my name was Frischer, with a C.
Goodness, and what was your life like in Leipzig before all this happened?
We had a wonderful life. I mean, it was amazing. I heard all these terrible stories, but we were never bothered. We had a wonderful life. I went skiing, we went swimming. Couldn't understand, but it didn't let us off with it. 38, knock on the door about 5, 6 in the morning, and we had to get dressed. My mother said, I must pack. Nothing. Take nothing. Not allowed to take anything. But the money that my father had got when he sold a coat, he brought to the house because he couldn't put money in the bank. Jews couldn't put money in the bank. And she put the money in a little case with all the socks on top of it. No knickers, just socks. So that was it, the little case. And they took us to the railway station and then went.
And was that in November? Was that after the Kristallnacht?
It was before Kristallnacht.
Before?
October.
I see. Oh, that's interesting.
We got away in October.
And did you have brothers or sisters? Were you an only child?
A brother. At that time I had a brother, but my mother had another child in Scotland. And she must have been about 40. She had a boy. So I have a brother 18 years younger than I am.
Goodness me.
So what age were you then? I'm sorry, my maths is...
I was 5 when they arrested us.
Right.
So you wouldn't really have known what was happening?
Well, I was quite... I can remember quite a lot.
I suppose it was so traumatic.
It was. But I was with my parents, so I don't think I'm very worried.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in that train all day and all night we had to walk. It was pouring with rain and I had to walk. My brother was 3... So he got carried. So that was the beginning. And there was just a German... I was just a little girl and I was playing and we'll soon have you all exterminated. And at first I didn't know what he meant.
Well, this was in Germany?
Yes.
At school? Or just in the street?
Just in the street. This German just said, we're going to have you all exterminated.
Goodness.
I didn't really know what it meant.
And were you with your mother at the time?
Yes.
Yes.
All the family were together. This was before 38.
That must have been terrifying for a child.
Yes. And your older brother, did he stay in Glasgow or did he...
He's younger.
Now, you're telling me about some of these photographs. Can we start with this one, please?
Yes. That's my mother, age 3, before the First World War. My grandparents crossing into Switzerland, Swiss Guards. And after the war, he decided to come back to Germany, which was a big mistake.
That's amazing.
That's just...
And what these are the people who rescued you?
That's me.
That's you. Oh, you're beautiful.
Very glamorous.
Oh, very glamorous.
And that's my grandmother.
Oh, what elegant dress.
Oh, what a beautiful dress.
So when was that one taken?
That must have been my grandmother. By the style of the dress, it must have been 15, 16, roundabout.
Mm.
That era, yeah. Because of the dress.
It's beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Oh, that was my hair, I think. The colour.
Oh, you had beautiful red hair, auburn hair. Mm. Oh, that's gorgeous.
And these are all the people who died in Auschwitz. My grandparents.
Your grandparents?
Yes.
Who else?
That's
all these people.
My father fought Maccabiah.
Oh, that's him in his boxing shorts with the Mogen David on it. And that's in Germany as well.
Yes. Maccabiah.
Very handsome man, your father, yes, actually.
He was. Well, that's my first birth. Now, this is Germany, my grandparents, and you can see swastikas if you...
Can there are a lot of flags.
You need to really enlarge it.
Yes, to see them.
That was in Berlin.
Berlin, 1936. Mother and eight grandparents. Oh, no, mother, eight, and grandparents, that's what it is.
This is Alvernia, which I'll show you the map.
Where's that? Is that in Germany?
No, Poland.
Ah. So did your grandparents originate in Poland?
No, they did. Well, my great-grandparents did. But they actually had a lovely butcher shop in Leipzig. But the Germans said, if you sell pig, we will let you keep the shop open. And my grandfather was too orthodox, and they had to leave and go to Poland and live in this cottage. It was very poor, no sanitation. That says on the back, Alvernia.
Alvernia, 1935. And that's why they'd have been sent to Auschwitz from Poland.
Well, that's me in the pram in Germany.
It's a lovely big pram.
My mother modelling a coat in Leipzig, and that's the factory, Leipzig. Well, that's just a wee picture. Yeah. That's me in Olmutz outside Prague.
I see.
Well, this was Alvernia, Katowice, my father in a fur coat.
That's right.
I could have it. This with the family again. And I've got, that's great, great, great Uncle Isaac. Mm. That was quite a lot. These people were on that picture, but they were much younger.
Right.
They were much younger. And this is also Alvernia.
In April 1935.
Me hanging out the window, my grandmother.
You were extremely cute.
Yes, very cute. Looks as if you've got a kite or something. No, you're holding the door, the window.
Mm-hmm. Window cord.
The window cord.
And this is a picture of Alvernia. Mm. Now, this church is on the computer. And this was written for my first birthday, but the stamps say Alvernia.
Oh, yes.
And that was right beside Auschwitz.
Is that right?
I've got the map. I could show you.
Alvernia's near Auschwitz. Oh, goodness.
But on the computer, if you look up Alvernia, but because it's still got the stamp, it was 1934.
And Auschwitz would just have been in another little village that had no significance.
600 people, of which 100 were Jewish.
Is that right? Oh, that's interesting.
It's in my uncle's little booklet, which is very funny. This is just my first birthday. That's a German stamp.
It's Bismarck on it.
I got a lot of letters for my first birthday.
That's lovely, that was celebrating your birthday.
And how did you come to Scotland?
Well, we were arrested in 1938 and put on a train to, we didn't know where, but it ended up in a forest, and it was obviously outside Poland, and we're told to get off the train and start walking in the night in the rain. And all of a sudden the Poles started shooting, and everybody started screaming. And the Germans went up forward and said, we're not starting a war, we're just bringing a load of refugees. And they let us into Poland. And my father went to his uncle and said, could you come and pick us up? And we had nothing with us when we were arrested. We had absolutely just what we stood in. And they gave us food and everything, and then we had to move on to Krakow. My father got a little flat and we lived there, but my father said, this is 1938, we're not going to survive here. And he's got some friends in London to write a letter saying he must come to London very urgently, which he did. And his friend, he couldn't speak any English. His friends said, you must go to the Home Office and try and get your family out. So the first letter was no, the second letter was no. So my father had a lot of furrier friends. They were all furriers, all good friends. And they said, why don't you start a factory? He had a big factory in Leipzig, about 17 employees. So he started a factory and he wrote to the Home Office, and I've got the papers. Tell your wife to go to the British Consul in Warsaw and you will get papers to enter Britain, which immediately she did. And we had to go through Germany, and we wanted to say goodbye to my grandparents, but they wouldn't let us stop. We had to move on. So we went to Hook of Holland and then to Harwich. We met up with my father again. That was a start.
And how did you end up here in Scotland?
Well, we went to London and we had money because my father had sent money over. And we had started another factory. We had all our friends, all the furriers. And then the bombing started. And 9 weeks we had to live in the shelter, every night in the shelter. And we've got a picture here. And somebody said, come to Glasgow. So we thought that's better, because bombed out and everything... We lost everything. Everything bombed out. So we came to Glasgow, and Paul DeFuels, I don't know if you know him, I've got a picture of him. He was the one that said, come to Glasgow. And the night of we came to Glasgow was the Clyde Bank Blitz.
Oh, dear. That was 1941.
Yes. So my father said, we must find somewhere to live. And we bought we rented a bungalow in Kilpatrick Gardens, and the neighbours all came round. Refugees are here, and the non-Jewish people were too wonderful. They were absolutely wonderful. Because my mother never knew how to light a fire in a damper. What's a damper? And we had central heating. We had lived, you know, very well. With no trouble until 38.
That was very fortunate. And what did you do? So you were still very young. Did you immediately go to school here in Glasgow?
No, I went to school in London. And the teacher said, well, just bring your little brother as well. And they were Bell Lane School. And they were very nice. And I had lunch there. And we got something called jelly. I said, what is this jelly? Never heard of it. It was in a little container and it was lovely. I enjoyed my jelly. I thought it was lovely. So came home, I told my mother, we had jelly.
You must have quite quickly picked up English.
Oh, yes. I don't know how, but I did. So my mother spoke to me in German. I spoke to her in English. So she learned English, and my father learned very quickly, quite amazing. And then we came to Glasgow. I went to school here, made a lot of nice non-Jewish friends. It wasn't until I went to Maccabi that I really got into the Jewish way of life again.
Oh, your younger brother, sorry, is your younger brother in Glasgow?
Yes. Yes, we all came to Glasgow, and I must say my father met so many people in the fur trade and in London. I mean, the furriers, everybody in the fur trade, people seem to cling together and help each other. If somebody had a coat that they didn't have, And somebody said they wanted this coat. They would phone round, have you got such and such, and send it over. You know, they always helped each other.
And during the war, he must have been getting the pelts from Germany or somewhere.
I don't know where he was getting them. The pelts came from Russia.
Ah, I see. And they were able to get them even during the war?
Yes, I don't know how. But they came, but they called, they weren't finished, and they have to go to a chemical plant because they were raw.
Mm.
And when they came back, I had to slit them, the backs from the front, and worked in the factory. I quite enjoyed it, actually. But I don't know where my father got the pelts.
And did your mother live in Glasgow with you afterwards, after your father died?
Mm. Yes. Yes, my young brother was 3. And it's amazing. She has written a little booklet. Everything is in there.
And that's Mr...
Paul Fields.
Paul Fields.
Uh-huh. Pauldy.
Is that what you called him, Pauldy? Mm. Paul Fields.
Well, Roman got away, went to... It's in my mother's book.
Yeah.
But I think the others all died.
Oh, that's terrible.
This is my father.
Oh, he was very handsome too.
And my Uncle Benno. He wrote a very funny story. Very funny.
And Benno perished in Auschwitz too.
He died in Auschwitz.
Right.
I've got the pictures. Right. And
so they must have been taken from Germany once the war began. Is that right?
I really don't know. That's Weissensee. My grandparents were buried there. That's my mother's head. They were buried in Weissensee in Berlin, but they lived throughout the war in Germany, and that's in my mother's book.
So one set of grandparents survived the war,
yes.
And the ones in Poland didn't. Is that how it worked?
Yes.
Ah, that's interesting. So they managed to live through the war in Germany?
Well, they were hidden.
Ah.
Behind a false wall.
Really? By whom?
And people brought them food.
So non-Jewish people protected them in Germany, in Berlin?
Yeah.
That's very brave.
Yeah, behind a false wall. It's him at the boat.
Amazing. And did your parents mix with other Jewish people here?
Yes, the first thing my mother did was to phone Rabbi Rubinstein.
Oh, that's the Givnaught Synagogue, that's right.
At that time it was Clarkson.
Ah, see.
And then he went to Givnaught and became members of the shul and made a lot of friends, all the Jewish friends, through the shul.
Did you mix with other refugees?
Yes, there was a big crowd of refugees at that time. We went to the refugee centre in Sucky Hall Street. And I saw it on your...
And Harvey's photographs last week.
Yes, and we met a lot of Jewish people, because... So.
You felt more at home?
Yes.
After the war ended, you would still have been at school.
Yes.
What happened then?
After the war, my father had a factory.
He was a furrier, you see.
Yes, yes. But I went to the art school, I went to a dressmaking school, but my father said, come to the factory, what are you wasting your time for? What are you doing? So I went to the factory and, what a mess. Sorted all the furs out and the pelts and everything, made patterns for the linings, and that was good. And then I got married in 1953, and my father died in 1954.
Oh.
He was only 49.
Yeah.
And we had to keep the factory going. The workers were very helpful, and we just kept going because we had to keep my mother, my young brother, and we kept the factory going. But then I took ill and I had to leave. And my brother carried on the factory and did well because everybody was helpful.
And that was your older brother then?
The younger.
Oh, the younger one.
He was barely, it would have been 19 in the October. My father died in September.
I see. Impressive. So you spent the rest of your life working in the factory? Or
well, I had to leave because I came ill.
Right, right. And after that, were you involved in voluntary work or were you a housewife?
Well, I kept on working after I had a child. Yeah. And I did help out in the factory for when the kids were a little bit older. Yeah. I went back to the factory. But that was because my father had died. I had to go to the factory.
How did you meet your husband?
Well, I went to my cabbie. And that was where we met.
And he wasn't a refugee, he was a local Glasgow boy?
No, he wasn't. He was born in London. This was my first husband. Born in London, but he was evacuated during the war and his father came to Glasgow and they lived here. He worked in his father's factory. Now, Benno Schatz wanted somebody to model and he did a head of my father and I filmed him working, but my brother's got all these things and I would think by now that we'll have all rotted.
Really?
The film's rot.
It depends where you keep them. That's amazing.
My brother has got the bus.
Fantastic.
And is he in Glasgow, your brother?
Yes.
I was just admiring the lace tablecloth as well, because my grandmother used to make these beautiful tablecloths. And it's an arch, I think, that we have lost.
Yes.
Among other arts.
And many other arches.
Yeah.
If you look back now on your time in Scotland, what would you say are the high points of your time here?
Just that all the Scottish people were so wonderful. I couldn't believe it. After having lived in Germany and being, abused by the Germans, I couldn't believe the people here were so nice.
And do you think they were particularly nice because they knew what you had gone through?
I don't really know. I just thought they're wonderful.
What's the name of your children?
Samantha and Charles and Lorraine.